In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "Indeed, the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart." Yes, the word of God is living and effective today in my life and in yours. And that's the very reason why I'm offering this weekly podcast where I reflect upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. So now, please join me on Faith Moments with Dina Marie as we break open the Word of God together, inviting His Word to change our lives forever. Greetings. This is Dina Marie of Faith Moments, and welcome to the fourth Sunday in the Lenten season, this fourth Sunday of Lent. The fourth Sunday of Lent is a special Sunday in the church. An optional color can be used. Typically, we see a purple color, this penitential color, in Lent and in Advent. But for the fourth Sunday of Lent and in the third Sunday of Advent, we can see the color rose. It signifies a little bit of a rejoicing in this time of penance. And we're going to hear actually in the antiphon that opens this season, or this week that is, with this idea of rejoicing. It means we're getting closer to the celebration of the feast we're preparing for. We're still in this 40 days of Lent. We're still working on the prayer, the fasting, and the almsgiving, the discipline, the letting go of, so we can prepare for the joy of Easter. And so listen for the aspects of rejoicing in the readings that the church gives us today. The thread that I want to tie into these readings for today is also to be a light reflector, to be a light reflector. So as we come together on this fourth Sunday of Lent, Laetare Sunday, with a rose color, let's open with the entrance antiphon that we hear. And it comes from the prophet Isaiah. It comes from Isaiah 66. "Rejoice, Jerusalem, and all who love her. Be joyful, all who were in mourning. Exult and be satisfied at her consoling breast." Let us pray. O God, who through your word reconcile the human race to yourself in a wonderful way, grant, we pray, that with prompt devotion and eager faith, the Christian people may hasten toward the solemn celebrations to come. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. And as you hear in that collect prayer, it just really looks at this idea of rejoicing, that we're getting ready. We have prompt devotion and eager faith that will hasten toward the solemn celebration of Easter. And so let's ask for that rejoicing in our hearts to help us to continue to stay disciplined in our Lenten observances. A reading from the first book of Samuel. The Lord said to Samuel, "Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem, for I have chosen my king from among his sons." As Jesse and his sons came to the sacrifice, Samuel looked at Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is here before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not judge from his appearance or from his lofty stature, because I have rejected him. Not as man sees does God see, because man sees the appearance, but the Lord looks into the heart." In the same way, Jesse presented seven sons before Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any one of these." Then Samuel asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" Jesse replied, "There is still the youngest, who is tending the sheep." Samuel said to Jesse, "Send for him. We will not begin the sacrificial banquet until he arrives here." Jesse sent and had the young man brought to them. He was ruddy, a youth handsome to behold, and making a splendid appearance. The Lord said, "There, anoint him, for he is the one." Then Samuel, with the horn of oil in hand, anointed David in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David. The Word of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In verdant pastures he gives me repose. Beside restful waters he leads me, he refreshes my soul. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. He guides me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil, for you are at my side, with your rod and your staff that give me courage. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. You spread the table before me in the sight of my foes. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. Only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light, for light produces every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. Try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the fruitless works of darkness, rather expose them, for it is shameful even to mention the things done by them in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." The Word of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. I am the light of the world, says the Lord. Whoever follows me will have the light of life. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he is born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is," but others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." So they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He replied, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went there and washed and was able to see." And they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him now if he was able to see. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, How can a sinful man do such signs? And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, What do you have to say about him, since he opened your eyes? He said, He is a prophet. Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained his sight until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. They asked them, Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How does he now see? His parents answered and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He can speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, He is of age. Question him. So a second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He replied, If he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind, and now I see. So they said to him, What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why, do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? They ridiculed him and said, You are that man's disciple. We are the disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from. The man answered and said to them, This is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything. They answered and said to him, You were born totally in sin, and are you trying to teach us? Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered and said, Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he. He said, I do believe, Lord. And he worshipped him. Then Jesus said, I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind. Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, Surely we are not also blind, are we? Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would have no sin, but now you are saying, We see. So your sin remains. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. We're into the fourth week of the Lenten season, the fourth Sunday. This is the second scrutiny as well for those elect who are preparing for baptism, confirmation, and First Holy Eucharist at the Easter Vigil this year. And so it's an important time for us to continue to pray for those who are preparing for the sacraments. Last week, we heard of the woman who is at the well, and we hear about the water and the living water that Jesus is, that Jesus provides, that the Holy Spirit works through in the sacrament of baptism. And now we hear this reading of a man born blind, a man born in total darkness, and we see the light that's reflected from the light of Christ. And so let's just look a little bit in these readings today. We hear from the book of Samuel, and we see the role of Samuel as this prophet who has anointed Saul as king. He follows the guidance of the Lord. And now the Lord, Saul has turned dark. Saul's kingship has gone awry. He started to follow other gods and not reflecting the light of the Lord. And so the Lord is asking Samuel to anoint another king. I'm going to show you who that is, and then we're going to go to Jesse of Bethlehem to find this next king. And so Samuel goes to the house of Jesse, where there are these many sons. And we see that the son who is anointed is the youngest and is the son named David. And Samuel first looks at the physical appearance of each of these strong men, these handsome men who are Jesse's sons. And the oldest son he sees, well, he has a lofty stature. Sure, he has this strong appearance. Certainly, this is the one. And the Lord reminds Samuel, do not judge from his appearance, for I have rejected him. Don't follow what you see. Think about what the Pharisees have seen in the gospel reading we just heard. They're looking with their eyes only, with their human experience. And the Lord reminds Samuel, remember, the Lord looks to the heart. The Lord looks to the heart and what is pure and what's reflected in the heart, what's in the interior. The laws of the Jews reflected on all of what you could see, what you wash and what you prepare and how you handle and how you do these things on the outside. And these laws were trying to help the people follow the law of the Lord. But what was really important is the heart, is the inner heart that reflects the light, the heart that reflects purity. And what we hear of in this reading from Samuel is that at the anointing, and there's this ceremony with the oil, and these that David's covered with oil. And even in the presence of the brothers, you'd probably think that the brothers might be, they could be tempted to be jealous of David because he's the youngest one, and certainly one of the older brothers should be anointed. But that at that anointing, that the Lord rushed upon David. So think about what we're preparing for in Lent. We're preparing for the sacraments, baptism, confirmation, and first Holy Eucharist. For these men and women, young and old, who are preparing for the sacraments. And so these elect, these catechumens and candidates who have already been baptized, the candidates are, they're preparing to receive sacraments, and they will receive an anointing by oil. We have an anointing of oil with the chrism oil. And this oil, listen to how powerful it is that the Lord rushes upon those who are anointed. And so we pray that the Lord and the Holy Spirit will rush upon those who will be anointed through their baptism and through the sacrament of confirmation. And those of us who have already been anointed by baptism and confirmation, that the Lord will continue to anoint us, will rush upon us by the power of the Holy Spirit. That we will have light within us, a light of purity, a light that reflects in the way we speak, in the way we act, in the way we worship. Most importantly, that we worship. Because listen to, well, let's go to the Ephesians first in this letter from St. Paul, kind of getting ahead of myself with worship, but it is how we worship, it is how we look to God, it is how we orient our lives around in and through God. And so Paul is reminding those who are new Christians who are starting to walk this way that you once lived in darkness. You once lived in sin. And now, through Christ, you are light of the Lord. You are light of the world. So live that way. So live in the light, live in the truth, live in the way that we've taught you, live in the gospel truth. And that light will produce every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. This should be how we live. Therefore, it says, arise, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Christ is the source of all light. Christ gives us that light through the gift of the Holy Spirit, in the gift of the grace that we receive, particularly most powerfully through the sacraments, in our prayer, in our fasting, in our almsgiving. And that we pray that the light that we've received will become visible through our heart, through how we treat one another, through our gift of forgiveness, of being a person who is of mercy. And then we see this beautiful gospel of John, the man born blind. And a couple of things I just think are delightful to ponder is that we see the disciples with Jesus, and they encounter this man who they learn has been born blind. And so they expect that you have this ailment because you've sinned or because your parents have sinned, that there was an expectation and this this teaching, I guess, in the Jewish culture that if you had a disease or a deformity of some sort, it was a consequence of sin. And so you must have sinned or your parents must have sinned. And so the disciples are saying, well, which one was it, Jesus? And Jesus says, neither. You know, Jesus and God has a bigger picture of the world. And he says, neither his parents or he had sinned. It is so that the works of God could be made visible through him. So Jesus is trying to expand their minds a little bit and says, while I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Truth and holiness and goodness comes through Christ. And so then he goes about this interesting way of, you know, man was made out of dust. And so Jesus goes back into the dust, into the earth, and makes this clay out of his hands, out of his own saliva, and touches the man's eyes and tells him to go and wash. And he obeys. You know, he goes and he follows the instructions of Jesus. And there's a lot of dialogue here. But what I think is beautiful is that the man regains his sight. He has this encounter with Jesus. He has this dialogue with Jesus. He doesn't quite understand yet, but he's slowly, like the woman. The woman last week, if you remember the conversation, she has like a conversation with this man at the well, but slowly by this conversation, she's not only seeing, well, maybe he's a prophet. Now maybe, because now she's getting to be into theology. Now maybe he's the Messiah. There's a deepening that happens when we encounter the Lord. We go deeper. We don't just stay on the surface. You know, this man has been healed. He began his life in darkness. You know, and we all, with original sin, begin our lives in darkness. And yet, our encounter with Jesus Christ allows us to see. You know, think about when you go into a room that's dark and you see that little bit of light, you know where the light switch is, and you turn it on, and all of a sudden you're exposed to light. And so Jesus has given this man the gift of sight, but he's also invited him into a deeper relationship with him, so that not only will his eyes see, but his heart will see. There will be a transformation, that he now will be a light reflector, that he'll be a light reflector. And he'll be one who shares the good news. And so he's being bullied by the Pharisees, and they throw him out of the synagogue. And what is so beautiful is Jesus is aware of all of this. And it says, when Jesus heard that he had been thrown out, he goes to find him. You know, he heals the man. We hear the good news, we turn to the Lord, we start to receive the Lord in our lives, we profess our faith to the Lord. And sometimes there's things that bring us down. The world brings us down. The world tries to turn us away from the Lord, turn us away from our faith. The sins of the world try to turn us away. And yet the Lord is always seeking us. And the Lord finds him and says, do you believe? Do you believe in the Son of Man? Yes, help me believe. Help my unbelief. And Jesus says, and he says this, and this is the word worship that I wanted to get back to. I do believe, Lord, help me to worship. And he begins to worship Jesus, that when we really see the light, David had that gift of the Holy Spirit, that gift of the Spirit, so that he would worship the Lord, that he would eventually lead people into right worship with God. And the man born blind who now can see begins to worship Jesus. And he now sees the light. I would have to believe that he follows Jesus, and he follows, becomes one of the band of disciples and those who will follow Jesus, maybe all the way to the cross and to the resurrection. And so all of us, in a sense, have been born blind, and we begin to give it a gift of light. But let's pray especially for those who seek that gift of light today, our elect, those who are seeking the gift of baptism today, that they would prepare, they would be patient, and they would be ready to fully receive that light, to let go of the darkness that has been in their life, and that their light would allow them to worship the true God, our true maker and our creator, and that we would always worship Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the light. Let us pray. O God, amid the dark chaos from which you brought forth the world, you spoke the liberating word, let there be light. Speak still this word into our hearts as we prepare to celebrate the rising of Jesus Christ, the Son of Justice. In his name we ask. Amen. God bless you during this Lenten journey.
You have been listening to Faith Moments with Dina Marie, reflections upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. New podcast episodes are released weekly through the generous support of Mater Dei Radio. To learn more about Faith Moments with Dina Marie, visit me online at dinamarie.org. That's dinamarie.org. May you have a blessed week.